Today we're talking about profitable study in God's Word. We're taking it from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through to 19. Verses 14 to 19, and it starts off saying, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." It's talking about being profitable. What kind of things are going to make the word profitable in your life? We want to be profitable in businesses. We go out there and we're always looking at the bottom line. But somehow when we look at the bottom line, we also have to look at the other lines too, because each item is important. What is it that's important? And so we look at all these lines, and then we come down and say, that is what is profitable for us. That is what we truly want. Are you looking for the profit of God's Word? That wonderful bonus, that great blessing that will fill your lives and gift you with strength. Are you looking for it? Today, he tells us, be profitable. And when we do that, we need to focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord our God. Remember last week in verse 8, just a couple of verses before this, it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Remembering that as we study each line. And in it, we find also in verses 11 through 13 from last week, where it reminds us of being faithful. Listen to this. This is a faithful saying, that if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We are called to be faithful to the Lord, to stand up, to be a Daniel, to do the things that we've been called to by our Lord. Dare to be a Daniel. Oh, I love that song. But notice in this, though, at the end of the verse here, it says, not to strive about words to no profit. When you're going through, you can take things to an nth degree that they were not intended to be. Words that you can say, well, this word in the English means this and this and this. Yes, but it doesn't apply to all the words and the content in the Scripture. We have to keep focusing on the context of the Scripture. And the Scripture itself, some had done that. They said, oh, he must be talking about this because of this one little word here. And they go off on the wrong track. Rather than balancing Scripture with Scripture, rather than looking for God's Word and finding the depth in it, they go off on a trail, a bunny trail, literally, that leads nowhere. You follow it and you find out that you're at the beginning of the end and you have to start over again. It doesn't do any good. You have to be careful. The Scripture, how should we study it? Look at verse 15. It says here, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Diligent. To strive, to seek, to do God's will, to purposely go in. And in this case, diligent, it tells us to be a worker, working hard. But it also says, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's relating it to the Scriptures. Study it. Study it hard, it says. Study it. And what do we want to do? Focus on God's approval. In doing that, in opening those Scriptures up, we're doing what God would have us do. We're seeking His approval, that we should be diligent in rightly dividing those words of truth. Hungering that we should be right before God. You know, a child, you see a child and they look up to you. And they're looking for your approval. And they would do anything for you. And it's a demonstration to remind us that God calls us to look up to Him, our Father, and to seek the hunger to do His will, to seek His Word, to diligently look through it, to be approved by God. How many times have we done that? How many times have we said, wow, this is great. God, thank you for this. God, give me more. I want to know. These are great and wonderful words. We don't want to go down bunny trails. Scripture is great, but we're not called to be a society for debating, but rather a society, a group of people, hearers, the children of God, who hear His word and are obedient to it, hungering to do His will. People sometimes get caught up in endless debates that will lead nowhere, and we're going to be talking about that later this morning. They get caught up on these things, and in doing so, they get off track. Rather than going back, you know what I love about Bible study? You get, like this morning's group, you get together, a group of believers, someone who's looked through the scriptures, anticipated questions, gone down and seen where different scriptures go to. And as they're looking at the scriptures, and you ask a question, they have great knowledge in the different areas that they're going to. And in fact, a good teacher, you know what they do? They anticipate, look, if you continue on this train of thought, look what's going to happen. As you go down this train of thought, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Is that what God's Word is truly saying? And then it brings us back. Many times we ask questions, and group studies are the best place to do this. Go home, you read God's Word, you come to Sunday school or Bible study, you come to a group or you come with another person that you've been studying with, and you read through the scriptures and you say, look at these words here. And you balance them on each other. You help to strengthen yourselves. And you also ask other questions, questions that you hadn't even thought of, because they respond. And you know what happens in the middle of that? You're growing. You're growing strong. And it's a great place. Now, we're talking about doing things, and the Bible study is a great place to discuss these things, because you say, well, look, I was wondering about this question. It's been bugging me. Why does it happen like this? Now you're in the hands of someone who can help you with the scriptures to proceed so that you can see the full truth of God. That's why we go to studies. That's why we hunger. And we want to be approved, so we're going to classes to learn more. More than we could even learn ourselves. Because we're also blessed by the wisdom of these great teachers who have studied and worked hard, diligently, the scripture says. That's what they're doing, diligently. Why are they doing it? Well, it could be nice to have a humongous class, and that would be fantastic, but it isn't for the approval of the class that a teacher seeks so diligently. It tells us here it's to be approved by God. Hungering to be approved by God, to please God. And so they go to do this work. Focus on the study of God's Word. That's where the profit is. That's what we're to hunger for. You know, back in Romans chapter 14, they were studying God's Word. And this is just a bit of a balance I want to bring into this conversation. They were studying God's Word, but two people had two interpretations of what they should do. In other words, applications of the Word. Listen to 14, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 here. It says, receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Here they had the scriptures and they say, well, it means this and it means this. But what you had to understand is one group was coming from a group of worshiping idols. And they came from that environment of worshiping idols. And they don't want to go back to it. And when they see meat, it reminds them of their worship of idols. They're afraid to go in the marketplace and buy meat because that meat may have come from a place where they worshiped idols, and they took the meat that was left over and they brought it into the marketplace to sell it. They don't want any part of it. And so they want to honor God. How do we honor God? They want to honor God by living their lives not eating meat. Another group over here says, look, an idol. It's only wood or stone. It doesn't mean anything. You can eat. I can eat. There's no problem with that. The conflict is in how their hearts are set to honor God. And so they went and they didn't eat meat for that very reason. And what does God say about this difference? I mean, for some of us, we might have a church of meat eaters over here. You belong to the church of meat eaters? Or do you belong over here to the church of vegetarians, right? No, it's telling us we can meet together and honor each other because each one of us is seeking God's approval with our hearts. We're seeking God with all our heart, and this is how we want to honor Him. And we don't want to go back to the way things were. We hold each other in esteem because we know that the other person is wanting to lift up God in front of people. God is already lifted up, but for us to hold Him in great honor, that's what they're doing here. And what does it say about that? Listen to the end of that. It says here in verse 4, it says, who are you to judge another servant? To him his own master stands, or to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And then Paul goes right after this in verse 5 to another issue that they were having in that day. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Honoring God in what you found in the Scriptures. Honoring Him by living that. And that's what we're called to do, to go out and live that. This week on Wednesday, I'm going to be doing a Lenten service at the Salvation Army. Why can I go to the Salvation Army to do that? Because I know that God is their judge. They are God-honoring. They're serving God. They may see things a little differently than I do, but as a part of the community, to raise up this community in Jesus Christ, the ministers agreed that we should have a Lenten service, a service to lift up this community in the Lord. And so I'm going there to preach a 20-minute sermon. Actually, it's a song, a prayer, maybe 10 minutes of a sermon, and then another prayer. I'm going there to honor the people of God, to respect them for their faith, and to lift them up. And that's what I chose to do. This is a God-honoring thing because God is their judge. I'm not going to be their judge. God is the one who's bringing them together, bringing all of us together as believers. And guess what? In heaven. We're going to be in heaven together. If they've believed on the name of Jesus Christ, if they've called Him as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be in heaven too. Why can't we get along today? If we're going to be in heaven tomorrow. But we have to be careful. Careful that we don't just argue about words. That we get embittered about words. God has given us a heart of how to seek Him. And we are to seek and honor Him. Focus on the study of God's Word. Do it for profit. Getting into the Word. What is God telling me? How am I to live? And you're going to do that. And when you do it alone, when you get together as groups, when you go with your friends, iron sharpens iron, when you're there with someone talking Scripture, you find that God is changing you. honing you into the implement for Him that He can use you to grow His kingdom. And guess what? It's done in love. Isn't that what the scriptures are about? Love. It's got to be done in love. If you don't do it in love, it's just like a ramrod trying to force something. And guess what? We're not all alike. We're not all able to fit in a round hole. Some of us, I'm a little square. Guess what? I'm not going to fit in that hole all the time. We need to do it in love so that other people can see that God's love lives in this person. And I don't mind listening to this person because of the heart that they have. I see the love that they have. And guess what? That love isn't only for God, it's for me. And now I can appreciate that. And I can hear the word given in love. Present yourself before God, though. We need to do it diligently. We need to be seeking approval. We need to be rightly dividing the word of truth. That word divide was also used of a farmer who would go and lay down furrows. He would do it straightly, accurately. Why does he want to do it straightly? Why does he want to do it accurately? Because if he veers off, that section of land that hasn't been planted, it's unprofitable. No plants will grow there except weeds. And when weeds grow there, what are they going to do? Their seeds are going to spread amongst the rest of the crop and then reduce the value of that crop as those weeds soak up the nourishment that was meant for the true good seed. They have to go and they purposely lay down so that it can be profitable for them. We go down, we open up God's Word, and we're seeking diligently to get what God has given us from it profitably, excitedly, joyfully. That's the great Word of God. But look at this in verse 16 and 17. It says, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." They will. They go down a road, and he's given the example here because in verse 17 and 18 it says, "And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." They take the scripture and they take it to a point where they say, "Look, this is what it's saying," but they're not given the full scripture, or "This is what I heard," or "God has given me this word. I want to tell you about what God has given me directly," not from here, but "God's given me directly." And now we have to evaluate the words of that person, not of God's words, but of that person. This is the case of Hymenaeus. What does he do? He lays down a path saying that the resurrection has already come. Hymenaeus was profane and a babbler. That's what he is. He's called. His error, he's saying Christ has come. And if we take that path to its completion, watch what happens. Oh, Christ has come. Well, what I'm going to do, I believe in Christ, so therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to honor Christ because I know there's a God, so I'm going to live God-like. And so I continue to live God-like with no hope of any resurrection. No hope that God will come for me. What has happened to me? I've died. Well, wait a minute now. I've been good for so long, and these things are looking kind of good. Maybe I should go over here and do some of these things which really aren't good. Why? Well, think about it. I've lived this life. It hasn't made a difference for me. Why should I continue along this path? Rather, let me go and have my own will and my own way, because if Christ isn't coming for me, does it matter what I do today? You see what happened? It starts at one point and it continues down a road to the point where it means Christ means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And not only that, but he spreads this word He spreads the word, and what happens is others listen to him rather than listening to Paul. Now, let's talk about this for a second. 1 Timothy. What did Paul do about it? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20. Okay? Hymenaeus is mentioned one more time in Scripture in 1 Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy, right? In 1 Timothy. And maybe let me start at verse 19 and 20 here of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. And it says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Some have suffered shipwreck. In the middle of the storm, they hit a reef. In the middle of the storm, the waves swamp over them. They don't know what to do with it. Either they don't have the knowledge, the faith, to stand in the middle of the storm, to be directed by God, or they've let it all go, and now they crash. The waves swamp over. The boat is sunk. It says this of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is what he's talking about when he speaks about blaspheming. Blaspheming God. Now, there is a place for proper language in Scripture. But also here, it's talking specifically about blaspheming. It's talking about taking God's word and distorting that truth. Especially here when Christ is coming and he's saying that Christ isn't coming. He was delivered over to Satan, the Scriptures tell us. What do we know of being delivered over to Satan? In Job chapter 1 and verse 10, it tells us that God puts a hedge about us, protects us from Satan. It tells us in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, that Satan asked to sift Peter, and Jesus prayed for him. Satan asked to sift Peter. What is he doing? He's going to put him through the grinder. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put him through the grinder. And Paul is here telling us that he's delivered Hymenaeus over to Satan. In other words, to allow Satan to influence him. So why would he do such a thing? That God would allow Hymenaeus this opportunity to realize what's going on in his life. Sometimes you got to get to the bottom of the hole before you realize how deep you're in. He wants Hymenaeus to experience that. It isn't that he wants Hymenaeus to go away and to be in pain, but rather that's the only result that there is to allow him. And remember, now that he's not a part of the church, Hymenaeus has been kicked out for the purpose of Satan to test him, to torment him, that he might realize his true need for the Lord, his God, and then he would turn towards him. Now, some people say, well, look, he's saying that Christ has already come. Maybe he's talking about the millennial reign of Christ and that Christ is reigning at this time. But that isn't what Scripture's telling us, because if you look there, first off, Paul, he's very upset that these words should be spoken. They're not true. Who is Paul? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you were to look in there, you'd find that Paul went to heaven himself. He went to the third heaven. He knows about heaven. God is telling him words to write so that we could live each and every day. He knows God's heart, his will, and his way. And he wants to help Hymenaeus get on the right path. But sometimes to get on the right path, you got to go to the bottom of the hole. How would you want to learn? Would you like to learn picking up the Scriptures, words for life, words that will keep you and bless you? Or do you want to learn the hard way? There are people I know, they said, you know, I've got a degree in the hard school of Knox. They said, I've got a doctorate in the hard school of Knox. And they have, because they never stop to consider God's word and apply it to their life. And when you don't apply God's word to your life, you've got to get to the bottom of the hole. When you're digging, you're only digging deeper. Hymenaeus, There he is, and he's digging himself deeper, and he's been left in this one place. And in being left in that one place, it's going to hurt. But the purpose is to bring him into something better, turning him over, that he might learn. Why is it we have to learn the hard way? Can't we stop and say, this is the end? I'm going to start listening and obeying and living rather than wandering about suffering as we do? How great a tragedy it is. Remember also when I spoke earlier about the millennial. Remember this. You could say, well, there's the millennial truth that we learn in Revelation. In Revelation 20, it talks about that millennial reign of Christ. But that word won't be written for about for another 30 years after this. That's when God would give the Apostle John the revelation of the end times. So here it's this man spreading words that haven't even been written because he hasn't really taken the truth to heart. He doesn't know. And he's leading people astray because there is no hope if there is no Christ. And there is no hope if there is no Christ. But I tell you, there is a great hope because Christ has died for us. And he comes. He comes. And we get excited about that. What should we do in the meantime? Be diligent to discover God's word and to live it. As we're convicted, to live that conviction so that we can seek God's approval each and every day. And what does it tell us in verse 19? Nevertheless, it says, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He's telling us, focus on the foundation. What's the foundation? Foundation of God. It's talking about his word. We've been studying his word. Studying God. Living God in our life. Find the foundation of God. Live it. Each and every day. Live that word. But get this. That beautiful foundation tells us two truths. It tells us two things there as we look at them, doesn't it? It says there as we look at it. If we keep our focus where it belongs, then it's not going to stray because God, he knows who are his. Each and every one of you. He's looked into your heart, into your life. He knows who you are. And he knows who you're not. He wants you to be his. Truly. With all his heart, he pleads for you. Paul pleads for you. Christ died for you. Each and every day. He wants you to come closer. Are we going to acknowledge that love and seek him? If we don't know Jesus as our Savior, are we going to say, today, Lord, be my Savior. I want to know you. I want to be approved by you. I want to seek you. That's the joy that we have. And it tells us there specifically, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The holy God is there. He wants you to be holy this day. He wants you to be holy, his today. Depart from sin. Live for him. Seek him as you walk your day, as you live each and every way, that it would be honoring God, honoring to him. Let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We want to thank you for this word. Lord, we want great value from your word. Help us, Lord, to be diligent as we seek. Lord, to be balanced as we seek. Lord, to seek honoring you, Lord, to live as you have called us to live. And Lord, we want to just praise your name for this day. Amen.